Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Old. Nope, not old. It's just Eerie House Radio tonight, isn't it? I'm Dale K from Spook Show here along with.
Dale, what room are you on? I can't find you. What room are you in? Oh, there you are. Hey, it's
I'm in the main room.
Really bad movie and Spaceship One.
I'm here in the broadcasting room.
Oh, well. Jeez. Who
the
fuck's
wherever, that? Which is wherever we happen to be. Hi, good old Bob. Just in time again. For Eerie House Radio.
Oh, yeah, because Fogg said he might not be here with us tonight, but
oh,
knowing Fogg's,
right. He did tell us.
He'll listen in the archives if he can't make it tonight, so.
That's right. As many do, more than I thought. Unbelievable.
Yep.
Another roomy story. Make room. Lots of elbow room, especially today.
Lots of elbow room.
Lots of elbow room tonight,
that's for sure, yeah.
Mm.
Yep. But it's going to be a nice ride because we have another fun CBS Radio Mystery Theater from the pen of Bob Juran, who is quickly becoming one of my favorite. He only wrote about a dozen stories. And the first one was the strangest one. Hyman Brown really liked it, encouraged him to keep writing. And to me, it was weird, but it sounded like Hyman Brown was starring in that one. Maybe he was. I don't know.
He wrote it for
but
himself.
But the character. Yeah. No. Bob Juran wrote it, but it sounded to me like Hyman Brown was the main character in that. And Mother's Love is what it was called, the name of that one. Haven't played that one yet. Maybe we'll have to do that for a Mother's Day weekend once.
Yep, yeah, only 11 months away.
That's a little, maybe. Or?
For all you mothers.
Like 23
there.
Months away. You never know, you know.
All you mothers, fathers, sisters, and brothers. Whoever you may be.
Yep. Actually, I'm pretty fortunate. I don't want to really get to celebrate Father's Day, which you and I will do tomorrow. But, you know, I've been called a mother so many times, I can celebrate Mother's Day, too.
I know how you feel. Strange. I've been called that, too.
No. You?
Any time. I have a response to it that I cannot share here.
Yeah, well, when they call you know, it is what it is. Yep.
They may be, but not mine. Anyway, it's no edible things here. Old-time radio, and it's a CBS Radio Mystery Theater classic, as Dave mentioned, written by Bob Juran, The Waiting Room. Now, Dave, you warned us. This one's going to be really good.
Well, I just, you know, Bob Juran is not going to, does not let one down. It just, like I said, he only wrote about a dozen of them compared to so many of these others that wrote so many of them, but his dozen are well worth it. So it just, it's funny, he was basically just a copywriter, from what I understand, an advertising copywriter who probably always wanted to write a story, and since he worked for CBS, that's probably where he ran into Hyman Brown, and said, I got an idea for a story. Hyman probably said, hey, go ahead and write it up, and after that, that was the beginning of a collaboration with some Radio Mystery Theaters.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'll tell you, we have got some thrills for you tonight. We might as well get started with CBS Radio Mystery Theater and a tale
we can
called
do that.
The Waiting Room.
Absolutely.
Part one, originally broadcast.
Episode number 704, coming to us from September 5th of 1977.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents...
Goat Tales.
Oh, okay, here we are.
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to our world where real demons exist in this strange and brooding land behind the creaking door. Yes, we offer you real ghouls. No artificial anything. Curiously enough, authentic ghouls are not decaying bodies rising from the slimes of time. They are found almost anywhere, cleverly disguised as pleasant and attractive people. In fact, the people you're about to meet live in an attractive and fashionable home in Rose Hill, one of New York City's more affluent suburbs. They are young and attractive, all right. But to hear them talk...
Ah, the mixture's ready. In fact, it looks better than usual.
The blood was very rich when I drew it.
Good. This one's going to be a complete success.
It better be, considering who we're dealing with.
Nothing is going to go wrong. We've had our mistakes, but then who hasn't? Lucifer isn't perfect.
Robert, don't blaspheme at a time like this.
Our mystery drama, The Waiting Room, was written especially for the Radio Mystery Theater by Bob Juren and stars Larry Haynes and Marion Seldes. It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour allergy capsule, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One. The forces of darkness don't always linger in the shadows. Sometimes the most evil beings take the guise of sincerity, honesty, and openness. Who would imagine, for instance, that evil could be found in a swinging, noisy, jumping discotheque in New York City? A place of music, swirling lights, and life. Let's visit just such a disco now. And while the forces of evil may not be too immediately apparent as our story unfolds, well, don't say I didn't warn you.
This place looks promising.
It's supposed to be the hottest disco in town.
See anyone you like?
Let's circulate. Keep your eyes open.
Certainly jammed.
Mm-hmm. Nice young crowd, too.
How about that couple over there? The ones just going back to their table.
Mm-hmm. Not bad. Let's try that.
Excuse us. Wonder if we could join your table. The place is so crowded it looks like we'll have to double up.
Sure, come on, sit down. We're all in this together.
Oh, thanks a lot. I'm Bob Carson. This is my wife, Rhoda.
Oh, Marty Lanning. My wife, Charlotte.
Hi.
How are you?
You two look as if you're celebrating. Corsage, champagne.
Our first wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks.
Do you live in the city?
The village. You?
Suburbanites. We're from Rose Hill.
Mm. Rose Hill. Pretty classy.
Oh, we lived in the village ourselves. I love it.
What's your line, Marty?
I'm a phys ed instructor at Columbia.
Do they need a good coach at Rose Hill High?
I don't know.
We could always ask.
Oh, there's another one of our favorites. Excuse us.
Yes, certainly be our guest.
Come on, Charlotte. Let's dance.
Back soon. We never miss a number.
I like them. What do you think?
I agree. They do fine. Maybe we ought to shop around a little more.
Waiting room's getting awfully crowded.
Yes, I know.
I think they're ideal.
Well, we can try. If they don't measure up, we can always let them go.
Here it is, Lundy Lane. Wow, these homes.
They're okay. Yeah.
Imagine being invited to Rose Hill for the weekend.
Okay, what do we look for now?
Oh, two white pillars and a sign that says Carson.
We sure hit it off with Bob and Rhoda Carson.
I liked them right away. I mean, they're rich and all that, but they make you feel comfortable.
Hmm. Oh, I see two pillars up ahead. That must be it.
Yes, there's a sign.
Some driveway. You can't even see the house.
Marty, look at that bird on the left pillar.
What? It looks like a crow. It is a crow.
It's huge.
I didn't think crows got that big.
There it goes.
Well, we startled it when we turned in.
This really is country.
Wow, there's the house.
It's just what you'd expect at the end of a drive like this.
sure is quiet.
It's so peaceful in the country, so they say.
Yeah.
Marty, what's the matter? You sound so down all of a sudden.
All of a sudden, I don't think I want to go through with this weekend.
Why?
I don't know. I'm here, and suddenly I want to go back to New York.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, we can't do that.
Well, I know we can't, but... Charlotte, look. Up there.
Where?
That window on the left wing of the house.
It's the crow.
Sitting on a perch on the windowsill.
It belongs here?
I don't know. I've heard of people training falcons. Maybe the Carsons train crows.
Hello, you two.
Well, here we go.
Oh, cheer up, Marty. We'll have a good time.
I saw you drive up. We're delighted you could make it.
Hi, Rhoda.
There's quite a bungalow you've got here.
Now just leave your things in the car. Robert will get them later. Come on around to the pool. Oh, we have another guest for the weekend. I'd like you to meet him.
Say, Rhoda, is that your crow we saw? It was on one of your windowsills.
Mm-hmm, that's Caligula. You'll see him from time to time. He won't bother you. He's a friend of ours.
This place is just heaven.
Oh, Bert. Meet Charlotte and Marty Lanning.
Hi.
This is Bert Thompson.
Oh, nice to know you.
Hi, Bert.
Oh, sit down, everyone. I'll get the martinis going. Oh, and there are fresh bathing suits in the bathhouse if you want to take a swim.
Quite a layout, isn't it?
Fabulous.
Rhoda says you're from the village.
Yeah, Christopher Street.
I'm on West 44th, and I sure appreciate a weekend away from the city.
Say, Bert,
What
does Bob do for a living? It must be stocks or something to keep a place like this.
You mean you don't know?
No, they never mentioned it.
Well, I thought you and the Carsons were friends.
No, we only met last Saturday night at the Pearl Fishers on 3rd Avenue.
Oh, I thought I was the newcomer. I met them last Sunday at Jones Beach. They had their blanket next to mine. We got to talking, and they invited me here.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, we thought you knew them.
Not till last Sunday.
Well, it seems to be a hobby of theirs, inviting strangers home for the weekend.
What do you think of our candidates?
So far, so good. We'll know better by dinner time.
Yes. You know, that Thomas chap has the physique if his history is right. We'll start tomorrow night.
And take the couple on Sunday.
Mm.
We've got to ease the tensions in the waiting room. I'm getting worried.
Relax, my dear. It's nothing new. We've been at this for centuries.
But I've had enough for one day.
I should think a former Olympic swimmer would live in the water.
I'm out of training. Swimming strictly for pleasure now.
I wish some of my students were in good a shape as you.
Well, you never really lose it.
You must have been healthy all your life.
Never a sick day in all my 24 years.
Oh, that's good. That's very good. No allergies in your family? No history of cancer? Heart trouble?
My great-grandparents are still living.
How wonderful.
And you're relaxed, too. You're not the nervous type. No.
Robert, I think you ought to get the barbecue fire going.
Yes, that's a good idea. Give me a hand, Bert.
Oh, glad to.
We'll be ready to eat in an hour.
So you and Charlotte are practically newlyweds.
Yeah, we met in college, but we waited till I got my master's.
You both seem to be in good health, too.
Oh, fitness is my business.
Well, good. Stay that way.
You and Bob seem unusually interested in fitness.
Well, we are. It's very important.
I mean, our fitness. Why did Bob want to know about Earth's family history?
Hey, Marty, give me a towel, will you?
Oh, Robert didn't mean anything by that. It's just, you know, polite interest.
Oh, water is wonderful. Oh, I don't see why you don't go in.
Oh, maybe later.
I'm going to start laying out the salads. Now, you two just relax. I'll have some chores for you later.
I'm going to go get dressed.
Charlotte.
What?
There's something... I don't know how to put my finger on it.
Marty, what's the matter?
There's something here that's... well, nothing. Forget it.
Good night, Charlotte.
See you in the morning.
That's the last of them. They've all gone to bed.
Good. I'll lock up, and then we'd better make some preparations.
Good. I'll meet you in the waiting room.
My lovely creatures, how restless you are tonight.
There you are, fresh water. These should hold until the morning. I'll freshen it all up tomorrow.
All's pure. Not a sound from any of our guests. suburban air must be too much for them.
I'll be glad when we're finished. The birds are terribly restless.
We're never finished, Rhoda.
You know what I mean. Suppose they get suspicious. Suppose they decide to leave before
they
we...
won't leave until we're ready to have them leave. Caligula will see to that.
I hope so.
Really, Rhoda, you act as though this was our first time.
I'm always nervous just before we begin. So many things can go wrong.
All right. Suppose we do begin and try to concentrate, huh? Now, let's get the formula started. Did you get the blood?
Yes. I think you ought to double the dexachlorine.
Yes, that's a good idea. I don't want to take any more chances on halfway happenings.
Alcohol?
Less of that if we're increasing the dexachlorine.
Is that all right?
Good, good. Now, 3 drops of the blood. Perfect. Yes, it's working. All right, seal it up. And give it 24 hours. And tomorrow night at this time, we'll start the first one on his way. Now, Caligula is going on patrol.
Marty.
What? What's the matter?
There's something outside the window.
What? What do you mean, something?
Listen.
I don't hear anything except the crickets.
Something's watching us. I feel it.
We're on the top floor. You want me to see if someone's clinging to the vines?
Don't be sarcastic.
Well, you're the one who said I was imagining things.
All right. Go back to sleep.
No, no. I'll take a look. But in the morning, I think we'll just tell the Carsons that we... Grief, it's that crow.
Oh, get it away. Oh.
It was on the windowsill.
Keep it out. Keep it out.
It's all right. It's gone.
Well, where is it now?
It flew off into the pine trees.
Oh, that was such a shock.
That's what was looking at us.
Oh, gosh. I guess it has the run of the place. We're the intruders to him.
I don't know. There was something about the way that bird looked at us when we drove in. Do you remember? Sitting on the pillars?
Yeah.
That's no ordinary bird. Crows don't react this way to people.
What do you mean, Marty?
That crow didn't land on our windowsill by accident. I told you yesterday when we drove up, I didn't want to stay. I couldn't put my finger on it. But there's evil here. Real evil.
Marty.
And I don't think there's anything we can do to get away from it.
It would seem that a pleasant weekend in the suburbs is strictly for the birds. It's certainly turning into an ordeal for a couple of New Yorkers named Charlotte and Marty Lanning. But maybe they're overreacting. So what if a crow happens to land on their windowsill? So what if the Carsons seem unusually interested in their state of health? So what if the house seems pervaded with evil? So what? Well, we'll find out when I return shortly with Act Two.
Yeah, we'll be here for that Act Two in just a little bit.
Here we go. Pickles listening
in.
Oh, man, I yodel off.
That's right. I'll raise you.
You did.
You're bluffing.
You did.
I don't know. That's The pickle is pretty damn good. The pickle is pretty good.
This show's starting to take a turn for the birds.
Yep. It is. They say that a bird in the house is bad luck. So we have a parrot.
Uh-oh. How's that working out for you?
No, if a wild bird gets in the house, it's bad luck.
Ah, wild bird, yeah. Well, might not be real lucky for the bird either.
Yeah, true. Most of them slam into the sliding glass window. Hey, nice work.
Yep.
Yep.
I can see them trying to get out that way, but when they run into the windows, come on. It's not like you don't see a house inside from the outside. Come on.
I think they're seeing a reflection of the woods in the glass, and they think that's...
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Well, in your case, I know cases where there's no woods there.
Ah.
So,
Well, they're just dumb birds. They're dumb birds.
They're dumb birds. Dumb birds.
It's Darwin at work.
Bunnies? Well, these are dumb birds. Yeah.
Darwin's theory at work.
Yeah.
If you're if you're stupid enough to fly into a window, maybe you shouldn't be breeding.
Oh, yes. Got that Darwin effect going on there. Awards effect going on.
Yeah. Darwin, he's harsh, but he makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, I usually, wherever I go, I take my buddy Murphy along with me. So, you know, good old Murphy's Law.
Yes.
Oh, can't go wrong, it will go wrong.
Yes.
Yep. Can't go wrong, it will go wrong. And that's what happens.
Yeah, regardless of the smallness of the percentage of the chance. If it can, it will.
It will.
That's why it's good to prepare for the worst. And the worst may be yet to come in this story, The Waiting Room.
Yeah, it usually gets to the peak here at about the most of the way through Act 2 to get us, make us hang on and stay awake for Act 3. That's kind of the way they do things here in the Mystery Theater.
Yep. And let's get on over to part two. We got a lot of time today, though. We should have some bonus material for you tonight. So stick around.
We got lots of bonus time things in there. Yeah. A lot of fun.
Yep. Yep. And we do. And we've got this great story. So let's get to part two. And we'll be back shortly.
Now to return to our weekend in the country. Our three guests have no idea what their strange hosts are up to, and as a matter of fact, neither have I. But from the things they say and do, I'm sure it bodes evil for Bert, Marty, and Charlotte. It's morning now, and somehow the mysteries of night don't seem so menacing in the morning light.
Good morning!
Hi, Bert. You're up early.
I jogged 2 miles before sunup. You put me to shame. I'd have gone further if I had more sleep. Those damn birds kept me awake half the night.
Any sign of our host yet?
Yeah, Rhoda's in the kitchen. Said she'd serve breakfast out here on the patio.
You mean Caligula paid you a visit, too?
Caligula?
Yeah, the Carson's pet crow. It was watching us till I got up and chased it off.
This wasn't a crow. It was a whole bunch of birds.
A bunch of birds?
Yeah. They seemed to be inside the house.
We didn't hear anything like that.
Your room's on the other side from ours. Are you sure they were inside?
Well, it sounded like it.
I wouldn't be surprised at anything strange around here.
What's with the crow you mentioned?
You haven't seen it? It has a perch outside one of the upstairs windows. It was waiting for us when we drove in yesterday.
It wasn't waiting, really. It just happened to be sitting on the pillars by the drive.
And it just happened to be looking in on us last night?
Marty thinks it's spying on us.
That's just what it's doing. That bird is trained.
Well, why would it be watching us? This is just a fun weekend, isn't it?
I'm not so sure.
Oh, Caligula's just curious, Marty. I'm so sorry he disturbed you last night. More coffee, anyone?
Well, it's just a little disconcerting to wake up and have a huge black bird on your windowsill.
Shades of Edgar Allan Poe.
Cheek of the devil, there it is.
Oh, it's flying right toward us.
I think it's joining us. He's landed right on your chair. Well, good morning, Caligula, you naughty bird. You kept our guests awake.
Oh, that's Caligula.
He's big, all right. You have him trained, don't you?
Well, in a way, I suppose. But he has an independent spirit, don't you, Caligula?
Now that I see it up close,
It what?
The eyes are so strange.
Well, they're just crow's eyes to me.
Oh, they have an intelligence.
Well, of course birds are intelligent. But only bird lovers seem to acknowledge it.
That's weird. Those eyes almost look familiar.
It's the first time he's seen a crow that close.
Oh, it gives me the chills. I'm afraid I'm not really a bird lover, Rhoda.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Marty, you've insulted him.
No, no, not really. Caligula never stays long.
Look at him fly.
I was telling Marty and Charlotte I heard birds all night. From my room, it sounded as though they were in the house.
Of course. We have a small aviary upstairs. Of course, sometimes the birds are restless at night.
Would you like to see them?
I'd love to.
Well, come along then. I'm afraid our country living can be distracting at times.
Good morning, everyone. Sorry I'm late. Oh,
morning, Robert.
Oh, I was just going to show our guest the aviary, Robert.
All right, you go along. I'll get some coffee.
We won't be long.
I thought we'd spend the day on the yacht. I called Rusty, told him to get it ready.
Lovely idea.
Oh, they're all so beautiful. It seems a shame to keep them cooped up.
Oh, they don't mind. They're safe from harm.
They certainly know you. Look at the way they all flock to your side of the cage.
Yes, you're my lovelies, aren't you? Now this, large, black, that's Eva.
They all have names?
Well, of course. And the blue jay is Napoleon. And this little finch here is Carl. How are you, sweet? And this one's the Fuhrer. Yeah, the mean streak, but we love him.
I don't see how you can keep track of so many.
Oh, but they're all special to us. Each one has its own distinctive personality.
That one seems to like you, Bert. Look at him. It's giving me the eye, all right.
Oh, look at that. It's rubbing its head against your finger.
Affectionate little thing. Birds give me the creeps. I don't like the way they stare.
Oh, you're just a city boy, Marty.
Well, shall we go? Robert wants to go on the yacht. I know you'll all enjoy it. Bert's been accepted.
Good. I didn't think there'd be a problem. And the others?
There seemed to be a favorable response. Nothing individual, but favorable.
Well, now we can relax. Until tonight.
Oh, pardon me. All that sun and salt air today. I can't keep my eyes open. It was heavenly, though.
And all that food. Yeah, I think we'll both turn in, if you don't mind. We want to get an early start for the city tomorrow.
Oh, please do as you wish. It is getting late. Today was tiring.
Good night, everybody.
I think I'll go up, too. You want to ride into the city tomorrow, Bert?
Oh, sure, if you don't mind.
Good night.
Night.
How long do you think?
We'll give him an hour. I have some things to attend to down here.
I'll meet you in the waiting room.
Now the mixture is ready. In fact, it looks better than usual.
The blood was very rich when I drew it.
This one's going to be a complete success.
It better be. Considering who we're dealing with this time.
Nothing is going to go wrong. We've had our mistakes, but then who hasn't? Lucifer himself isn't perfect.
Robert, don't blaspheme at a time like this.
Relax, my dear. This will be one of our biggest successes.
I dread facing him if it isn't.
I should think after all these centuries you'd realize that we are in control. We may have our orders, but the fact remains that we are in control of the waiting room.
Are you going to wait the full hour?
No, I don't think so. Caligula is going to check on the landings now, and then we'll get started. Oh, open the window for me, will you, dear? So I can let him out?
Of course. Make it quick.
Oh, I'm bushed. But it's been such a pleasant weekend. I don't know why you wasted so much time being suspicious.
I don't either. It was just a feeling I had. I guess I made more of everything than I should have.
Thinking that crow was spying on us was really, well, not silly exactly, but a bit overdone.
I'll still say those eyes were familiar. When it sat on Rhoda's chair this morning, I knew I'd seen those eyes before.
Well, nothing's happened. The Carsons have been wonderful. They just like birds, that's all.
You're right, I guess. I'll be glad to head back for good old Manhattan tomorrow.
Good night, honey.
Wait a minute.
What is it?
Shh. Outside the window. Shh.
What?
Shh. I thought I heard that crow again.
Can you see anything?
No.
Well, come back to bed.
Oh, it doesn't matter. The heck with it.
See you in the morning.
Night.
You're back.
Thanks.
Well?
The Lannings are in bed. Marty heard me outside the window, but he didn't seem to care. He's completely unsuspecting.
They're planning to leave in the morning.
But we both know they won't be.
Can't we take them tonight, too?
We don't have to. Now, don't worry about them. We'll get to them tomorrow afternoon. Let's get down to the business at hand. Now, you get things ready, and I'll go for Bert. Bert? You still awake?
Just a second.
I'm sorry to bother you.
It's okay. What's up?
I need a hand for a minute. Do you mind?
Oh, not at all.
Follow me.
Yes, my lovely, we're on our way. Just be patient. The waiting almost over. Oh, Robert. Oh, hello, Bert.
What are we doing in here? You said you wanted to help with something.
Yes. You're going to help us.
What is this? What's going on?
Relax.
I just want you to lie down. Here.
Lie down? On that?
Lie down, please.
What are those straps for? What are you doing?
Rhoda, the syringe.
You're crazy. I'm not staying here.
This will calm your nerves.
Just
a little pinprick.
Look, I don't know what you're doing, but...
I'm not going to hurt you. This doesn't hurt at all. You won't know anything is happening.
What are you doing with that bird? Why is it out of its cage?
Just lie down. You can't resist.
No, I can't resist. I don't want to.
I'll adjust the straps just as a precaution.
Just a precaution.
He's going under fast.
Yes, so much the better.
Robert.
What is it?
In the south wing. The light just went on in the Lannings' room.
Oh, damn. All right, finish the straps. I'll be right back.
I knew I heard it in the house.
So what? It's none of our business.
Will you go and see?
Oh, all right. I feel like a fool. It's a bird, all right. You happy now?
Well, it sounds as though it's in trouble or something.
Look, the Carsons have hundreds of birds. They'll take care of it.
But that's the point, Marty. They're not doing anything for it, or it wouldn't be so frantic. I think we should tell them. Come on.
Darn it, Charlotte. You think they can't hear it, too?
Well, I'm going to find out what the matter is. Something's wrong.
What is this all of a sudden? You wanted to leave well enough alone. It's none of our business. It's their home. It's their bird.
Are you coming with me or not?
All right, I'm coming.
Marty, Charlotte, is something wrong? You're not ill.
Oh, no. We were just coming to find you. There's something the matter with one of your birds. Don't you hear it?
Oh, yes. Rhoda's with it now.
Well, it sounds so frantic. What's the matter with it?
Oh, just a minor upset. Some species are very susceptible. There. It's quiet now. Please, go back to bed. I'm sorry it disturbed you.
Come on, Charlotte.
I assure you there's nothing to worry about.
All right. I'm sorry I made such a fuss. Good night again.
Good night.
What did they want?
They heard the bird. They were coming to investigate.
It's good we caught them in time. The bird and the vessel are both under.
Good. We're ready then.
The wait is over, my Führer. The wait for you is over at last.
What time is it, hon?
Oh, 7:00. We better get down for breakfast.
What's it like out?
Beautiful. Clear. Oh, there's Bert by the pool. Morning, Bert. We'll be right down.
The Carsons won't mind if we leave right after breakfast.
That's funny.
What?
Bert. He looked up when I called, but then he turned away and hurried into the house.
So?
Well, he could have waved and said hello or something.
No, that's true. Well, maybe he hasn't had his coffee yet. I'm dying for mine. Let's go. We'll load the car later.
Okay. If you think that's best.
I do.
Oh, I guess some Carsons must be in the kitchen. I hear voices.
It is impossible for me to remain any longer.
I agree, my Führer. The sooner the better.
And again, I must compliment you on your choice of a vessel.
The German accent.
The young man's
What's
body
he doing?
Is perfect. It was worth the wait.
We're happy you're pleased, Pura. We thought we made a good choice.
What a relief to be free at last. I'm most anxious to get back to Germany. And I shall use the cover identification of, what's his name?
Bert Thomas.
Bert Thomas. Splendid American name, too. Makes it much easier.
I suggest you take a cab to the station. Arrangements have been made in New York for everything.
Good. And you're sending the others?
Today, Führer.
Splendid. And I'll be on my way. You both do an excellent job. It will take us a while to regain control, but this time we'll certainly line up a more dependable group of allies.
Marty, is he kidding? Am I dreaming?
Maybe we both are.
Hitler?
Hitler? The spirit of Adolf Hitler released from the waiting room? But then we did hear that conversation, if we can believe our ears. And if we are to believe them, we know that Hitler is once more abroad, this time in the body of a healthy young American man. That's what's happened so far.
Wait, I thought you said he was abroad.
Happen, we'll learn when I return shortly with Act 3.
I'm just so confused these days.
Didn't know Hitler had time for that.
Oh, I just remember a movie seeing him in a dress, something about a pineapple. But anyway. Ozzy Osbourne. You know which one. I can't get that image out of my head now as we get this exciting story.
I never had that image till you put it there. Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough.
That's what I'm here for. If I'm going to be disturbed, I'm not going down alone.
You've been disturbed since the day I met you.
This is true. I would be a fool to deny it. And a liar.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's always
oh,
something.
My. So we take a Hitler turn in this one. Yes, we do.
Yep. But it's just for fun. Not exactly part of his admiration society.
No, no. But interesting. It's just the first time I heard this one, I said, really? Really?
Do tell.
This is not the... I there's another story, Hitler story up one of these days we'll bring too. Also, another interesting turn in that case.
He seems to show up everywhere. I remember early Fantastic Four. It might have been like one of the first five issues or something. I didn't have the original; it was a reprint. But there was a character called the Hate Monger. And he actually gets killed at the end. And it's like, was he a double? One of the many doubles that he was said to have had? Or was it really him? So Hitler jumped around all over.
I'm one of those that just don't believe that. Again, I'm not big into conspiracy theories, but I just don't believe, knowing his ego, that he would kill himself. Just because he saw what happened to Mussolini, supposedly he killed himself. I just don't happen to believe that. I just,
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows how those disturbed minds work? But, it's a shame when something of that magnitude ends up in a bit of a mystery.
Yeah. Yeah, there are the people that believe it no matter what, but... I'm not big on conspiracies. There's a couple that I believe in or don't believe, I guess you could say. But that's one of them. I just,
No, I didn't want to believe he was running around somewhere in Argentina or whatever. I mean,
he wouldn't be with us today. I mean, they did have several of his people that got away. did make it down to South America. Argentina was one of the places and set up their own little community. Well, so did the South. When they were losing the war, they had several plantation people that just headed down to South America, set up their own little confederacy. And that you can look that up. That is there. I think they long since got rid of slavery, but it is something that did actually happen, and they didn't have the power and the resources. If that is something that happened, the Third Reich to make the Fourth Reich, but who knows? The Shadow knows. That's right, and the Shadow never told us. Good old Bob, thanks.
Yeah. He never tells us anything until he catches the bad guy.
Except the weed of crime bears bitter fruit. You know, that's the only thing Shadow will tell us. Crime does not pay.
No, but the benefits and hours are good.
Yeah, hours are pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. Some of the benefits are good. Like I have experience. Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder how far you're going with that.
We've been waiting for the ending of The Waiting Room. This is I want to see how this is going to come to a conclusion. As we wrap this one up, written by good old Bob Juren.
I've returned, as I promised, with Act 3. But I'm not sure I want to return to that creepy house and that weird Carson couple. I'm afraid we have no choice, though. We simply can't leave Marty and Charlotte alone with such people. And I'm rather curious to learn if that really was Adolf Hitler who walked out in the body of the fellow we knew as Bert Thomas. It was a neat trick. And perhaps we'll learn how it's done.
They've gone out the front door. What'll we do?
Come on, out to the patio. We've got to act as though we didn't hear anything. And we've got to leave here fast. I don't know what's going on, but we're getting out of it.
That was Bert we heard and saw. But they called him Führer. He talked about going back to Germany.
It doesn't make sense. It isn't true. It couldn't be. It's a crazy charade they're all playing, and somehow I think we're the ducks. We don't know anything about the Carsons or Bert Thomas. I don't know what they want from us, but they're not going to get it.
What do you think they meant by the others? I mean, Bert, whoever he is, said, you're sending the others?
I have a hunch it has something to do with us, but we're not waiting around to find out.
Oh, I can't help thinking about that bird last night and Robert showing up in the hall just as we went out.
Yes, I know what you're thinking.
But none of it adds up. It doesn't explain what happened to Bert.
Charlotte, look at this.
What?
A spot of fresh earth by the house.
What are you doing?
I'm just poking around with a stick. Fresh dug earth usually means something buried.
Marty.
A dead bird.
I'm sure that's the bird Rhoda said they called the Führer because he had a mean streak.
The bird is dead, and Bert's...
Oh, Marty, it can't be.
Come on back to our room. We're getting our things and we're... Uh-oh.
Where did it come from?
I don't know, but Caligula has his eye on us.
I didn't even hear him land. There wasn't a sound.
Neither did I. But he's there, all right. And I don't think he wants us to get by.
We can get past him, can't we?
I don't know. With that beak and those claws, if he's as trained as I think he is...
You mean he has us trapped?
I don't think we'll go anywhere he doesn't want us to.
How can a bird like that...
Look at it closely. Look at the eyes.
You talked about the eyes yesterday. What do you mean?
Look at them. Don't you see?
What?
Those are Robert's eyes.
Marty.
Come on, Charlotte. We'll try it. Around the front of the house.
Oh, get it away.
Get off.
Oh, get it away.
Get off, you.
Oh, what's happening? What's happening?
This way, quick. Back this way.
Oh, he won't let us get away. It's there everywhere we turn.
Yes. Everywhere we turn.
Oh, why?
There's no use fooling ourselves. The Carsons have us right where they want us.
Not quite. You both come with me, please.
Rhoda, what is this? Oh, please, Rhoda, what are you doing to us?
We came up for a pleasant weekend.
And now you'll serve our purpose. Come inside.
No, we won't. You listen to me, Rhoda. I don't know what's going on here, but I want to know what happened to Bert. What's all this Fuhrer stuff? What are you trying to do?
How do you know about that?
We heard and saw him this morning.
That was a mistake we should not have made. Come inside.
No, we're leaving now.
Caligula's already shown you how futile that idea is.
Why, Rhoda? Why us?
It has to be. You've been chosen and accepted. Now come with me.
First of all, forget about any more resistance or violence, Marty. There's no escape.
You have no right to keep us.
And arguments are useless, too.
What are you going to do to me?
What we did with Bert. Exchange a soul for a soul. I'm sorry you have to be strapped down, but it's necessary.
What did happen to Bert? Why was he putting on that Hitler act?
Oh, that was no act. He now is Hitler. Don't you see now what the waiting room is?
I think I'm beginning to.
In each of our little feathered friends here is a spirit waiting to be released. A spirit waiting for a new body and another chance to finish what they started in another life. Last night we gave Adolf Hitler his new chance. Adolf Hitler now inhabits Bert Thomas's former body. Only Rhoda and I know the process of transformation.
Then there are other...
Oh, hundreds. Hundreds, as you can see. But the spirits we care for here tend to be what you and the world would call unsavory. Criminals, murderers, political tyrants. Have you ever thought what might happen in the world if Adolf Hitler and Napoleon Bonaparte were allies?
You are crazy.
Oh, think what you like. The fact is that soon, very soon, these two giants will combine their genius for destruction.
Oh, you're going to turn me into Napoleon?
Oh, I see you take it lightly, eh? Well, it doesn't matter. There are many preparations before the final tyranny envelops the world. But we know what we're doing. We've been practicing for centuries.
Robert, stop talking and let's get on with it.
Please.
This is the start of the grand finale. All the evils of history released on Earth at once.
Shut up. You're giving away too much. Now stop it.
All right. Give me the syringe. Marty, you are the first person other than Rhoda and me to ever witness a transformation. It's quite miraculous.
Stop. Please. Whatever madness you're doing, don't do it to Charlotte.
Her appearance won't change at all. Just a short sleep, and then you'll see.
Oh, here's Eva. She's ready, but she's very upset. I don't know what's the matter with her.
Well, she's excited because she knows she's on her way back to Argentina to prepare the way for Juan. And in such an innocent and beautiful body. You see, Marty, the Perones, of course, are most important.
Oh, more restless than usual. I don't like it.
Well, put her in the electrolocalizer. She's all right. There's nothing wrong.
No, something is definitely wrong. I don't think we should go through with it now. Releasing Hitler first may have been a mistake.
What's done cannot be undone. We will continue right now. Stop. Stop that.
I can't control her.
Get it off
I
me.
I can't. They're all going wild.
Off.
They're going crazy. Robert, it's out of control.
Close the cage.
It's out of control. I can't.
Satan, Satan, close
they're
the cage.
All over me.
Get back. Get
oh,
back,
Robert,
you devils. Get
stop
back.
Me. Stop me, Robert. Help
I can't.
Charlotte, I'll get
these
straps off. We've got to get out if we can.
Marty, what's happening, Robert?
The birds are attacking. We have an escape to lose.
Off.
There. That's
get
one
away.
Now your feet.
Get away.
Get up, Charlotte, quick. They're not after us. They only seem to be after the car.
Rhoda, I can't see. My eyes, I can't see anymore, Rhoda.
Let's go.
Robert,
run.
Come, Caligula.
I can't
come
anymore.
Caligula.
I can't change.
Down the stairs and outside, fast. Sit down here, Charlotte. We're safe now.
Oh, it's not real. It can't be. It can't be happening.
They're still flying all over the house. They're tearing it apart.
Marty, let's get out of here. Now, please.
Hey, look, up there. They're all flying out of the house.
Oh.
One great flock.
Oh, they're after us now.
see.
No. No, look. They're flying off. All together.
Oh, thank heaven. They're gone. They're gone.
Just like that.
Now's our chance. We've got to leave.
There's not a sound from the house.
I won't go back there.
I have to. I have to see. You stay here.
No, I won't leave you. I won't be alone.
Come on, then. Good Lord, look at it.
It's horrible. It's a shambles, the drapes, the upholstery.
It's like a cyclone hit it.
Let's not go upstairs.
I have to, Charlotte.
Oh, those beautiful paintings, slashed to ribbons.
It's unbelievable. You can't believe they could cause destruction like this.
I can't go in that room, Marty. I can't.
Wait here. Don't come any closer, Charlotte. You shouldn't see this.
Them?
Yes. What's left of them.
Oh, oh, Marty, let's go. I'm going to faint.
Come on downstairs and sit down. I'm going to call the police.
What time is it?
8:30. It's only been a half hour since we first came down and this whole thing started.
Oh, I wish the police would get here. What are you going to tell them? No one could believe what we've been through.
We'll tell them the story. That's all we can do.
They'll think we're crazy if we try to tell them Hitler's alive, or that Napoleon and Eva Perón are flying around as birds. They'll think we killed the Carsons and wrecked the house.
I know, but I saw too much not to believe it.
I wonder where Bert or Hitler is.
Here come the police.
Oh, thank God.
Morning. You the people who called?
Yes, I'm Marty Lanning, and this is my wife, Charlotte.
Yeah, sorry I took so much time getting here. I had another call to answer. What's the trouble here?
Come inside. You'll have to see for yourself. I'll give you the details.
Wow. Never seen anything like this in Rose Hill.
The birds did it. It all began...
Wait a minute. You said birds did this?
I know, it sounds impossible. The whole thing's been impossible, but what I'm going to tell you is true.
Where did these birds come from?
The Carsons kept them as pets in a room upstairs. The birds went crazy. They did this to the house, and then they flew off. The bodies of the Carsons are upstairs.
It's the truth, officer. It was hideous.
The Carsons are dead.
It's not a pretty sight.
I gotta get to my radio. Gotta get help out here and get out an alert fast.
An alert?
Yeah, we got real trouble. That call I was on before I came here was at the railroad station. A flock of crazy birds attacked a guy waiting for a train.
What?
And according to the witnesses on the platform, they came out of nowhere. Hundreds of them. They flew around as though they were after something in particular. Then they swooped down on this poor guy. That was the end of him.
Marty.
Do you know who he was?
Yeah, he had identification. A young attorney from the city. His name was Bert Thomas. What's the matter? You know him?
He was a guest here, too. He left earlier this morning.
Oh, this gets deeper all the time. Why would the birds go after Thomas the way they did the Carsons?
I don't know.
Oh. We got a flock of crazy birds out there. Heaven help Rose Hill if we don't get them. They are killers.
Yes. Indeed they are.
They'll never catch the birds. But don't worry about a flock of killer birds being on the loose. They've already done in their intended victims. The resurrection of Hitler, if you believe it, proved to be too much even for history's most hardened criminals. So the waiting room is empty. And until someone comes along to take the Carson's place, those birds will just be birds. I'll return with some more thoughts on the subject shortly.
Mm-hmm.
hear so much about the evildoers, those of yesterday and today, and so little of the good. Much of the good in the world seems to go unnoticed. I suspect, though, that evil is the tip of the iceberg, because somehow we like to dwell on it and give it more visibility. But underneath the surface lies that vast concentration of good, so overwhelming in its power that throughout history, evil, in the end, has always been defeated. Our cast included Larry Haynes, Marion Seldes, and Russell Horton. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Is there nothing that can be done about it?
Yes. Yes, there is. France and I have been talking about it. You can save him and his crown by going to Schlotau in his place.
You mean impersonate him at the coronation?
Yes.
That's impossible.
It's not impossible at all. You look enough like him to be his twin.
But looks are not enough. Anyone who talked to me would be bound to know.
The only people you would have to talk to are the Princess Flavia, and she has not seen him in weeks, and the Duke Michael.
Well, what about the Duke Michael?
That is exactly what makes it possible. Even if he guessed, and I don't think he would, he would not dare say anything about it, because if he did, he would be exposing himself and his plot.
I see what you mean.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Contact, the 12-hour allergy capsule.
Ew.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
I insist it be macabre. I just do. Fussy that way.
That's just the Scottish pronunciation of a macabre.
Ah, I see.
So, you stick with your Scottish, I'll stick with the lame English of a
macabre. The things I learn here.
Makes even if we have smart, to make them up.
I am Mart. me Mart.
Yeah.
Or not.
Well, I guess there is one thing we could possibly learn from this wonderful tale.
Eerie House Radio, who you thought wasn't ready, is proudly resents, regardless, moral of the story.
With apologies to Gar. Spirit transformation is strictly for the birds. With that said, where's my bird seed?
There you go. Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Mail Order Bride Orderer.
Mr. Mail Order Bride Orderer.
Some men flip through a catalog looking for furniture. You flip through a catalog looking for someone to clean the furniture.
I don't want a window.
Nothing says, I will love you forever, like a quick swipe of the credit card at the altar.
What's your payment plan?
Women wait their whole lives for a man to say, I do. In your case, I do agree to pay the sum of $3,000 American.
Let's talk a number.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, oh catalog Casanova. Your spouse may be full price, but you'll always be our better half.
Mr. Mail Order Bride Order.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, good heavens.
That's much better than the campaign they ran not long ago. It was not very successful, but
that one seems to have had a more universal appeal.
Yes.
The old one. dancing on the minefield. Hey, maybe we could do some wheel. Dave, you still there? Did we lose you? I dare say we lost our Dave. He got canceled. I don't know. Not by me. So as we wait for Dave to get reconnected here, I'm going to give the wheel a spin just to kill a little time and then give you some fun.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Because of all forms of entertainment, the most popular everywhere in America is the Western movie. So here are the City Slickers to give you our version of a horse opera.
Seen most every rodeo and every cowboy picture show. Cause we like Western movies, we think the music's hot. Give us an opera with a horse and a hero who's half shot. Hey! All right, Louis, drop the gun. You are not fooling anyone. Get your horse and start to run. All right, Louis, drop the gun. Rogers thrills us through and through. We're nuts about Gene Autry too. Cause we like Western movies, we just can't get enough. We jump up on our feet and shout, things are getting rough. Oh, all right, Louie, drop the gun. You're not fooling anyone. So get your horse and start to run. All right, Louie, drop the gun.
Here is a Western we saw last night, full of action and dynamite. We thrilled and nearly stood on our heads from the moment the hero walked in and said,
I am the hero. My name is Tex. I'm the best darn rider on the old Bar X. I've been riding 6 weeks, around enough cattle. I got so many blisters, I'm tall in the saddle.
I am the sheriff, yes, I am the law. I'm fast on the horse and quick on the draw. I was a cowpuncher, alas and alack, but I had to give it up when the cow punched back.
I am the villain, I'm mean as can be. I hate the hero because he sings off key. I'm an ornery cuss and I'm so full of lead. When a rattlesnake bites me, he drops down dead. Why, chewing on bullets is my daily routine. See what I mean?
Oh, me Injun, nice and tan. Oh, me also businessman. Me take them scalps to make them penny. Sell them to a man named Jack Benny.
Our story takes place in a lawless town. They called on Tex to tame things down. He just arrived and who should he meet but a no-good outlaw poison beast.
Pete, I hear you've been rustling again.
Yep, I blew up the bank and I shot 20 men. I held up the stagecoach and robbed the mail car.
One of these days, you're going to go too far. So you still think that you're a pretty good fighter?
You should have seen what I did to Pink Rider.
You mean Red Rider.
No, he changed his name. He got faded last week in a big crap game. You're the yellowest man I ever did meet.
Smile when you say that, poison Pete.
I'm smiling. So what, you low-down coyote?
Mighty pretty teeth you got there, Unquote.
Now I know you're a coward and a great big schmoo. I'm gonna tell the whole town what I think of you. So then!
Shooting off your mouth won't get you anywhere. You better leave town if you wanna live, or I'll fill you full of holes till you look like a sieve. My old six-shooter's just an egg at the spout.
You better cover up the muzzle. The candy's falling out.
Our story changes fast. Tex is back on his ranch at last.
Well, here I am. I better get dressed. I got a heavy day to want to look my best. I'll take a quick shower and smell like a flower. That was a mighty quick shower. Who's a knocking at my door?
It's Gopher Annie. Turn you a door.
Gopher gal, you've changed somehow.
Do I look like a cow girl?
No, like a cow. The perfume you always wear?
No, this is stronger. It's more alive.
What do you call it?
Corral number 5.
Yeah, I can see what's in writing.
Of course, I had to put a blindfold on the horse.
Blindfold a horse? You're crazy in the head.
If he sees what he's carrying, I'm afraid he'll drop dead.
Gal, I love you deep down inside, and I've been needing a wife since old Paint died.
Just talk your stuff. Why don't you propose?
I can't find a ring the size of your nose. Anyway, I got a fine poison Pete. I think she's hiding at Girdle Creek.
A Girdle Creek? She must be a cat. She's as far from here.
It's quite a stretch.
Tex and Gopher leave that night, and on their way to see a very strange sight.
I'm too young to die.
Oh, it's so unjust.
Hey, what are you doing?
Just biting the dust.
Well, here we are. It's the end of the ride. Pete and his gang are waiting inside. Now, here's my plan. Be as quiet as a mouse. I'll sneak in and you surround the house. Here I go. You wait right here. And I'll be back in a minute, dear.
Here's your gun.
I don't need a gun. I'm going to throw that gang out one by one.
I hope you know what you're talking about.
You just count them as I throw them out.
Greeley had heard that, he'd probably have said, go east, young man, go east.
Yeah, that's right. And that is a crazy, crazy collection of talented musicians.
Yeah. Stupid chrome.
He's right,
knocking my microphone out. I hear it going on, I'm talking, and all of a sudden, we don't hear Dave.
Yeah, that's all right. Blog Talk was giving me a little fun today, too. Hey, gang, don't forget tonight, right after our show at 8 o'clock, another never-before-seen vault show of horrible horror starring Gar the Ghoul. Fun begins by at 8 o'clock Eastern, and that's right after we're done here.
I like to call it a classic show myself, yes.
I'm just reading it from his Facebook page, where there is a link to watch said show.
Yep. I have it locked into my browser. I don't have to go anywhere. I just go up to the top of my browser and plink, and it does better than keeping my microphone on the air. Yeah.
Save to faves. There you go. Do you do it now? Just like you've done with Blog Talk here, I'm sure.
Well, what are you? Am I gone again?
No, you're still here. Am I gone?
Oh, okay. What the heck?
No, we still got you.
Okay. Don't let go, Dale. Don't let go.
I'll hang out with old memory partner.
Okay. Well, you know, it's in between paychecks, so I do have some money here for the jukebox, if you allow me to reach over and put that in.
Sure. Better reach pretty far. It's all the way in the top.
I know.
Okay, here
we
go.
Well, you know, if you would stop moving things around the Erie house here, I'd be able to reach it better. Okay. Here goes Andy. There we go.
After retreat, if we have passes, we usually go to Joe's. It's just a little joint, down the road about half a mile. The solid centers and hep cats and camp really go to town at Joe's. How's about going down there with us tonight?
Everybody knows that joint that they call Joe's. Half a mile down the line, you can't miss that big tin sign. Joe Dokes, drugs and smokes, soft drinks, dance and dine. Brother Pat's news on for tonight. Put your hopping shoes on, shining bright. Come a-rushing, boy, and brush them off the clothes. the jumper to the jukebox down at Joe's. Rudy Tooty Dooty cut a rug with a country cutie, jitterbug. Jog me Johnny and a rock on me a road. They jump into the jukebox down at Joe's. Come on, 50 bucks a month and we'll have ourselves a time. Millionaires can't buy the fun that we can get dancing on a dime. Stuff the cooking rookie, mellow side. Grab yourself a cookie, grip and glide. Dig me Jackson with the Coca-Cola flows. They jump into the jukebox down at Joe's.
Forget about the sergeant and the way he tracks. Forget about the hiking with the full field packs. Forget about the guards and that OKC.
Whoa, follow me.
Yeah, forget about inspection and the work details. Forget about the scrubbing brush and mop and pail. Forget about the teeth put on the old OD.
Follow me.
Yeah.
Down at Joe's.
Yeah, they'll be jumping till Leslie blows.
And we'll have ourselves a time.
Millionaires can't buy the fun that we can get
dancing on a dime.
Stop the coke and rookie, mellow side. Grab yourself a cookie, rip and glide. Take me to Jackson where the Coca-Cola flows. They jump into the jukebox. They jump into the jukebox.
It's swingy, little thingy, got a swing that's jing-a-lingy, just a thing you wanna singy when you're blue. It's a simple little ditty, not a word of it is witty, but you must admit it's pretty through and through.
Ah, ah, ah,
ah, la-dee-da. It's a swingy, little thingy, makes you feel so ting-a-lingy, and the word you simply singy, I love you.
For all the love you give us, Blog Talk. Thank you, thank you.
Yep, that's true. That's true.
There you
go. If it weren't for Blog Talk, though, we wouldn't be here tonight. So
no,
that's we'll say, we are here, aren't we?
We are here.
Okay, I'm just making sure. I'm just making sure.
That's all right. If they behave, okay. I'll give them a butterscotch.
Oh, okay. Hey, I guess it's my turn now because we got all this still have some time left. Why don't I go up there and spin that wheel this time?
Give it a tug.
Okay, and step it up and reach to the top to give a nice big tug.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Any bonds today? Well, no, it's defense stamps that Daddy Hanley Stafford wants Fanny Bryce in her role of Baby Snooks to buy. Daddy's giving her her first lesson in thrift. Here they are in a sketch written by Phil Rapp.
All right, Snooks, here's the post office. Have you got your money ready?
Yes, Daddy.
Where is it?
I got it in my shoe.
In your shoe? No wonder you've been hobbling along like a stilt walker.
When?
All the way over here. Your left foot's 4 inches higher than your right foot.
My money's
take off that left shoe.
My money's in the other shoe, Daddy.
Well, why is your left shoe like that?
That's where I got my candy.
Good heavens. You're not going to eat that stuff after walking on it, are you?
Why?
Oh, take off both your shoes and let's empty them out. Come in.
No, don't run, Daddy.
I'll sit down here. Now, take off those shoes.
The socks, too?
No, just the shoes.
Well, how will I get my chewing gum?
Snooks, you didn't put chewing gum in your socks.
Didn't I?
Oh. Look at that mess. The money's all in pennies, too. Chewing gum, chocolates, and a piece of apple.
Where's my lollipop?
Here it is. Whatever possessed you to conceal all this stuff in your shoes?
I was afraid we'd be held up.
Oh, what a ridiculous notion. Why should you be held up?
Well, you was held up last night when you came back from the lodge.
Who told you that?
Mommy did. She said two men held you up all the way home.
Now, that's a malicious slander. I walk every bit of the way myself.
Oh, Daddy.
Now, don't smirk. It's enough I have to suffer those indignities from your mother without you repeating them.
I didn't tell nobody.
Well, make sure you don't.
Why?
Because a false rumor will spread that I came home inebriated. And you know I'm a man of regular habits.
Is that one of your regular habits, Daddy?
No. And I forbid you ever to mention the incident again.
Why?
Don't be aggravating, Snooks. I brought you to this post office to teach you the virtue of thrift, and you're already trying my patience. Is this all the money you had? 30 cents?
No.
Where's the rest of it?
They sewed it on the back of my pants.
Now what for?
You said to do it, Daddy.
I told you to sew money on your pants?
Yeah. You said I should always have a little money in the back of me.
Oh, that's a wonderful interpretation. Take off your... Oh, no, no, you can't.
Why?
Because it doesn't look nice to come to a post office and remove your clothes. Maybe you can go in the mailroom.
Ain't they got a female room?
I'm talking about the room where they keep the letters.
Can we read the letters, Daddy?
Of course not.
Why?
Because it's against the law to open letters that don't belong to you. They can put a person in jail for reading other people's mail.
Mommy opens all your letters.
Yeah, I know it. But it's different with a man and wife.
Can we put her in jail?
No.
Why?
Don't worry, I'm working on it. Now, put your shoes and stockings on.
I want to go barefoot.
Snooks?
I want to go barefoot.
Oh, stop making me sick. Or I'll hang you hide.
I want to play hide and seek.
Now, that's enough. Put your shoes on, quick. On. Now, the other one. Now, come on. We're going to invest this 30 cents of yours. Now, come on, Snooks.
What's this picture on the wall, Daddy?
Oh, it's a reward poster put there by the Federal Bureau to aid in the search for mail bandits.
What does it say?
It says murderer wanted. Let's see.
Are you going to ask for the job?
It's not a job.
No.
Come on. Well, here's the window I want. Give me your 30 cents.
Why?
To buy defense stamps.
What's defense stamps?
They're little tokens issued at various prices from 10 cents to $5. Mm-hmm. And when you get enough of them, you can get a defense bond.
What for?
What for? Mm. To help Uncle Sam, of course.
Why don't we help Uncle Louie?
This is not a real uncle. No. Uncle Sam is the guiding spirit of America. You've seen those pictures of that colorful old man with the beard, haven't you?
Santa Claus?
Not Santa Claus. Uncle Sam.
Who's he?
I told you. He's the patriotic symbol of this country. Just like John Bull is the symbol of Great Britain. We've had him with us since America was founded.
John Bull?
No, Uncle Sam. He's always portrayed as a sort of Yankee character, and he wears stars and stripes.
Has he got a beard?
Yes.
Does he wear a high hat?
That's it. And he gets his name from the initials U.S.
Who does?
Uncle Sam.
Who is he?
The man I'm telling you about. He represents our government and everything that's American. And his name is Uncle Sam.
Does he know Aunt Sophie?
No.
Why?
I don't know. The important thing is he wants your 30 cents.
Who does?
Uncle Sam! How are you yelling about?
I ain't gonna give him my money.
Now look, it's for your own benefit, Snooks. If you buy defense stamps for that 30 cents, you'll always have it.
I got it now, ain't I?
Yes, but you might spend it. If you buy stamps, Uncle Sam will get the money and return it to you.
Will he spend it?
Certainly.
No, he won't.
Why not?
Because he ain't going to get it.
Snooks, this is not only a saving proposition. Every real American should buy these defense stamps and bonds, apart from the interest involved.
What's interest, Daddy?
Well, it's a premium paid for the use of the money.
Yeah.
Usually reckoned as a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Like interest at 5% per annum of $5,000. That means you get back $250 at the end of a year.
$250?
That's right.
How can they afford it for 30 cents?
Oh, give me that money. Now, keep quiet. Give me 3 10-cent defense stamps, please. Thank you very much. Fine, Snooks. Here are your stamps.
I'm glad I stowed the other money in my pants.
Now, listen to me. You've just done a very noble thing, Snooks. You're too young to understand now, but America today is facing a grave emergency. The president has called upon the financial aid of the entire nation. And you want to help, don't you?
Now.
Listen, the few cents you've exchanged for those stamps will be put to work instantly.
Yeah.
Defense workers are slaving night and day at different projects, helping to make an impregnable fortress of this country, to keep our strength so that we may help others. Battleships will be built. Airplanes will roll into production. Tanks, guns, and even food for the army will be bought.
Oh, am I 36?
Don't you think it doesn't help? Now, just imagine if every person in America did the same thing. Snooks, strange as this may sound, your 30 cents may save half of the world.
Yeah?
Yes.
Turn me over, Daddy.
I'm not going to spank you.
I know. I want to get the rest of the money and save the other half of the world.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah, it was cute.
My favorite line in there is when he's, so what's it say? It's murderer wanted.
She's going to get the
are
job.
You gonna buy, Daddy? Are you going to buy, Daddy? Are you going to buy, Daddy? Oh.
You know, I can picture my son saying that to me.
I was with Josie, who did some live shows, did some back behind the scenes and lights and sound and things like that for her. And I wrote this little sketch called A Stamp for Chucky, about a ventriloquist dummy, something like a Charlie McCarthy. And unfortunately, I wrote it on my Commodore 64, so I have no idea. It doesn't exist anymore, but I thought it was a cute little story. Yeah.
That is good.
About a little boy understanding what the war was about the how he could help the war effort, you know.
Pretty cool. Hey, Dave.
Like in the days when you know everybody would take all their scrap metals and scrap grease, and even papers or comic, giving up their comic books and such for the war effort.
For paper drives, yeah. They had big paper drives. They would collect medals. They would collect all kinds of stuff for the war effort. And people chipped in. People did what they could. The civilians back home, as it were. Hey, Dave, tell everybody
Dale.
What they should oughta do Monday night with their time.
Monday night, 9 p.m. at horrorhost.net. You can join us. I will be there for the Weirdness Really Bad Movie. Not sure which one they're going to feature because it's always a surprise to me unless I know when they're premiering one of our new ones. And by the way, I just filmed a new one a few weeks ago, and it's on the editing board now. And so we'll have a brand new one, but that won't be this weekend. So Monday night at horrorhost.net, The Vortex with two X's will host The Weirdness, a Really Bad Movie from 9 p.m. until 9 to 11. And if you really want to see us, actually, you could tune in 2 hours before that, because they always put the weeks before show, or 2 weeks before show, on before it. So you can actually get 4 full hours of Weirdness Really Bad Movie. If you can do it. You can do it.
4 hours of Weirdness Really Bad Movie. That's 2 full shows.
Yep. The fun thing is at least for the second show, the 9 p.m. show, I will be there in attendance and in the live chat, much like what we're doing here at Blog Talk Radio, that those are in there and they can participate and ask questions or just comment about what you're seeing, having fun or whatever the conversation is going. It's always fun because when our hosting bits come up and our sketches come up, people get a little bit quiet because they're actually watching the show. So.
And Dave is a master editor. Let me tell you, when I had my streaming channel, okay, when we were doing Erie House TV, when they still had live stream, okay, it was pretty user-friendly, and Dave made it so easy to fill in a two-hour block because his shows were always exactly 2 hours long. It was perfect.
And a half hour there with the Captain Zeros you were just starting to get into.
Yes. Captain Zeros. Go back and check those out, too. A lot of your stuff is on the Internet Archive now, too, Dave.
Yeah, the Captain Zeros, some of those are. There also, there's a Captain Zero theater on weirdnessreallybadmovie.com.
That's where
you should go. There's a page for Captain Zero stories.
Yes.
And so that's a lot of fun right there. So.
Yep.
Don't forget to go have fun there.
We got time for maybe one more short little thing here. What we got?
Oh, well, would have to be short.
Would have to be short. I mean,
I
really short.
I'm short.
Like maybe only a minute long.
Okay, well, okay.
Maybe but, less as time progresses.
You may not find us on your TV, because in case you did not know, we're being brought to you by...
Why not a little Danger Island in the background as we take things
a little
home
bit, yeah.
Here cool. on Erie House Radio. We'll be back next weekend. All right. We're locked and loaded. We're armed and ready for a weekend of weaponry. That's right. On Friday night, Michael Shane, Suspense and Theater 5 and CBS Radio Mystery Theater will be back 1 week from tonight. Both shows at 6:30 Eastern. That's Friday and Saturday, like we usually do, kind of, mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should be an interesting weekend.
And we're already scheming. We're already scheming for another fantastic Halloween week. That'll be, of course, at the end of October. And figure out what we're going to do with War of the Worlds this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep, got to start looking now. Got to start looking now.
Yeah, we're scrapping. We're searching. We'll find different things. But until then, you can be sure of a lot of good radio. We want to thank Fogsbane and good old Bob for fighting it out with Blog Talk. I think the connection has been a little wonky today. Gave Dave the boot. We thought you got canceled, man. For that one joke.
No. No, not me. That was...
and don't
forget Vince.
How could I?
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Good night.
Dig it, man.
Not bad.
Pretty close.
Not pretty perfect, close. But not bad.
Unless you're listening to the archive, then it was perfect.
Yes. And I have recovered, by the way.
Wow.
The magic of butterscotch.
The magic of butterscotch.
That's why I keep one handy for moments like this.
Oh, my.
Small bump in the road.
Well, we got plenty of bumpy roads around here.
Yeah. And a beautiful day in northeast Ohio.
It
outside.
Was.
Yep.
Still is. Got some sunshine through my window right now.
Should be tomorrow, so everybody have a good Father's Day.
Absolutely, have a good Father's Day.
Appreciate your dad if you're lucky enough to still have him, or if you are a dad, you should be worshiped.
And if you're lucky enough to have you, yes, if you're a dad and you're lucky enough to have you, enjoy your day.
Yes. And if you're your own grandpa, well, that's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, then we send you to Guy Lombardo School. Yeah.
Yes.
We send you to Guy Lombardo School. Yeah.
Guy Lombardo? Why Guy Lombardo? What did he do?
He's the first one to record. I'm my own grandpa.
Really? I did not know that.
Yep. Way back. Yeah. I don't know whether you know the Ray Stevens version or which version you know, but
Guy Lombardo. The one I know is very old. I heard it first on Dr. D.
Okay. Guy Lombardo did it back in the 40s, one of the 40s. So if it goes back older than that, which it may.
Hmm.
All I know is it's a song with a lot of math involved. And it's hard for me to follow math.
No math, no mass, no mass, no math, no math.
And even Ray Stevens had a cute version.
I did not know that either. And I was a big fan of Ray Stevens.
Yep. Be damned. So, yep. So we got that going on. And so, yep. There'll be other versions as well, I'm sure. Like, those classic songs just keep coming back.
They keep coming at you. The hits just keep on coming. And look at that. Yeah, I'm already cleaning out the library here, preparing for next week, and creating more fun things to post on Mondays. I love doing those, Dave. Those pictures with the captions. But I have found, I have made an error. I have used the same picture twice.
That's okay. You use a different caption, right?
The flavor of it was the same, and I'm like, I was kicking myself because I have been trying to be very, very careful. There's like 120 of them so far, I think. I've been doing a little over 2 years now. Every Monday, there's some new ones up there. I'll make them like 3-4 at a time and slack off for a while.
Yeah.
Let me see how many we have. We are up to, and I have posted all 126, so it's time to make some more.
Yep.
But the one with Lugosi on the steps with the girl was used twice.
Ah, I do like it when you put them in the picture rotation too for the Erie House Night.
Yeah, I'll dig up, since there's so many now, I'll dig up the old ones and I'll try to find them that kind of have something to do with our show. I didn't have anything that was really roomy-oriented this time. But sometimes it'll be obvious that it's like, oh, okay, that goes with the show. Nice.
Yep.
We like to theme things up around here. Obviously, Dave started
that's right.
with the...
Sorry about that.
Oh, no, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It allows one to exercise their creative talents if they have any.
Yeah. Okay, well, that lets me out, but that's okay.
Yeah, I know, me too, but I'm going to pretend at least.
It's fun to pretend.
That's right. Make like I know what I'm doing.
Nobody has to know. Except unless they listen here.
Yep. Where we reveal our true selves.
Yeah.
And keep coming back anyway.
Yep. That's true. That is so true. Well, we had a lot of fun extra radio tonight, that's for sure.
Yeah, two nights in a row. Some short shows.
Two wheels and two songs.
Yeah. Short shows give us the opportunity to just share more of the wealth, as it were, from Dave's amazing, amazing collection of stuff.
We just keep popping out there. Don't mean to keep popping out, but that button keeps busting. So, you know, it's, yeah. Gotta get stronger buttons, yeah.
Button. Who's got the buttons?
Well, you know, I'm going to have to hit the button, and I got a couple things I'm going to get done here. So, perhaps...
Yeah! I got to bring in the bird seed.
Oh, well, in that case, you know, because, you know, you never know all those Hitler birds are flying around there. So, anyway, we got to... Turn down the house lights, turn up the three spotlights so that into the middle can come in the one that only Mr. James Durant.
Good night.
We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same, and
good night, CW. Good night, Fox.
Good night, Star.
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
I think she took a bus to Schenectady.
Do you mind signing off the radio?